Today is August 7th, 2017. My name is Richard Smith. I'm a layman from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, and an elder at Heritage Baptist Church. I'm also on the board of directors of GCI, and I'm here in Yaoundé, Cameroon, at the Navigators Conference. We're talking today about the how-tos of the word hand. That is, how to hear the scriptures, how to read the scriptures, how to study the scriptures, how to memorize, and how to meditate. And as a board member of GCI, I just wanted to say that GCI operates in places where they are invited only, go from by invitation only. We are not here to set up a church or a ministry or anything like that. We have no staff other than Reverend Mann. And so that's just a little information up front about who we are. And John has been coming to Cameroon for many years, and I have the privilege this year of coming back again. So we want to talk about, this morning we talked about doctrine. This afternoon we're going to talk about the how-tos of this illustration, specifically the word part. And so we have this another illustration. I like pictures. If I'm an engineer, I like pictures. And all right, well that fits in well. Anyone know what these are? Yeah, we're talking about scripture memory. So we have, when we get to the memory finger, remind me, looks like we have enough for everyone. So just by way of review, before we go into the detail, who knows what the little finger of the hand is? Yeah, you hear. These are five ways that we can get a grasp of God's word in our heart and mind. And one is we can hear it. And most of the people who are Christians, unfortunately, most people stop at hearing. They come to church once a week, they hear the word preached, they go home, and how much do we typically remember of what we hear? What did your pastor talk on yesterday? Well, you weren't at church. If you were here with John, you might remember it better than, let's say, last week. Or the last time you were at your church, what did you talk to? Do you remember? Okay, well, you might remember 5%. Now, different speakers, you might remember better. And if you took notes, it will help you. So one of the ways we can help our little finger is by taking notes on what you hear. So your pastor, he may have a little handout, a bulletin. If he says something that you think the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, it's a good idea to write it down. That will help. That's what we want to do. In the palm of the hand is the word obey or apply. That's the goal. Well, the goal is obedience, but ultimately becoming like Jesus Christ, the center of the wheel. But if we just go and hear and forget and hear and forget, what good is that doing? Hopefully, maybe it's doing a little bit of good, but can we make our hearing more effective? Well, yeah, we can read the Bible. By the way, Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So, most of you, a good disciple is going to regularly want to read the Bible. So, how much of our reading, do you remember what you read yesterday? Your quiet time?
begins to I had so many things, but the main focus was the issue that Paul was addressing, that we should not depend on our doctrines that will lead us to salvation. That it's not by our doctrine leading to what you just said this morning.
Okay. Good. All right. So he not only remembered. Now, did you happen to write something down?
Yeah, I remember.
So again, writing it down may have helped you remember. So we could help our memory. People ask, how do I help do better remembering what I read in my quiet time? Well, one way is to keep a small notebook and to write down, even if it's just a short one thing that I learned today, and then that will help me hopefully to move. To now that I know something and remember something, what does God want me to do, if anything? Or to know or remember the three things. He may want me to know something, do something, or be something. And so we might remember 10 to 15%, depending on, again, it may have a great impact and I remember it well. But many days go by, and by noontime, I can't remember what I read. And certainly by 5 o'clock, or if I were asked, I probably would not remember most days what I read. But it's good to read. So my plan, I have for many years, I read through the entire Bible in a year. So my goal is to help me understand the full context of the whole Bible. And so for the last 40 years, I read through the Bible every year. And so you have to do that, you have to be purposeful. I have a plan. So I have a reading plan. On January 1st, I'll start in Genesis 1 and read a chapter or two. I'll read Matthew 1, something out of the New Testament, and Psalm 1, chapter 1, and maybe just a part of Proverbs 1. And then each day, and my little calendar tells me what to read the next day, and by the end of the year, I've read through the whole Bible. Now, you could just start with Genesis and read it straight through Revelation. Some people do that. I like to have a little bit of the Old and the New and a Psalm and a Proverb. I kind of like that plan better of all the plans I've had. But I also have a Bible called the One-Year Bible. And instead of me looking at a calendar and flipping through my Bible four times, it's already laid out. January 1, it's already picked out my four pieces from Genesis, Matthew, Psalms, and Proverbs, and it puts it in the front. And then January 2nd, it pulls another chapter from those books and puts it in order. So I don't have to go searching. I just open to the day. I open to August 7th. And I'm in Ezra, in the Old Testament. I'm in 1 Corinthians, in the New Testament. I'm in a Psalm and a short part of Proverbs. And by the end of the year, it's organized so that I get through the Bible. Now, where a lot of people do, they say they do their study in their quiet time. I don't use my reading, my quiet time, for Bible study, usually. I distinguish between reading and study, because when I study, I need to slow down and concentrate, and I want to look at cross references, and I want to look at other verses that surround that subject. So typically what I'm doing when I'm reading is I'm fellowshipping with Christ. It's just Christ and I. I imagine he's sitting there and I'm sitting here. I have a special place, so it helps in your quiet time to have a time, a place, and a plan. So I've talked a little bit about my plan. There are other plans that you can get on the internet. If you Google Bible reading plans, you can come up with many different plans. To read through the Bible in 1 month, I guess you could do it 1 month. Not many people do it in 1 month. 1 year, 2 years, all kinds of variations. Chronological, or they reorganize the books of the Bible in chronological order. If you wanted to start and just read through the New Testament, the first year, if you don't have a plan, and when I was a new Christian, I just wanted to read through the New Testament a couple of times or more, because that's where I was, and I didn't know, I didn't really have a plan. Many people who start in Genesis and read straight through get bogged down or bored in Leviticus and Numbers, and they give up. They never make it to the New Testament or even Psalms. So that's why it's good to have for a brand new Christian, I would just have them read the Gospel of John. Don't worry about reading through the Bible just yet. For a new Christian, I want them to grow into step by step. So let's read the Gospel of John. Just one chapter a day. And again, to write something down, or if I'm discipling that new Christian, we'll discuss what he read that morning. And I would share what I read that morning. So I think some people take their reading and make it too complicated. It's simply like reading a love letter or a letter from God. And I just want to spend time in His Word, reading it, and like Christ is there with me, and we're just talking. He's talking to me through His Word, and I pray and talk to Him. And because I only have a certain amount of time, a lot of times I don't have time to do a complete Bible study. So you can call it study. I might. Just because I don't call it study doesn't mean I don't think about it. I still think about what I'm reading. Now, if I haven't planned right, instead of 20 or 30 minutes, I may only have 5 or 10 minutes. And so I read more quickly, and I don't get as much out of it. But I still read it, because I want to keep the discipline. I want to keep the discipline so I don't get out of the habit. Say, well, I don't have time, so I'll just skip the whole thing. No, even if I have a short time, or even just 5 minutes, let's say I overslept, and that happens to be a day I was supposed to go to work early or travel, and so I only have a few minutes, I'm still going to read as much as I can and try to pick one thought and pray. Even if it's just for a few minutes. But that's not the norm. Hopefully that's not the norm. Normally, I'm going to have so much time. I have to plan. Again, that means I have to get up on time. And if I want so many hours sleep, that means I have to go to bed the night before so I can get up. Does that make any questions about hearing and reading? Most of us are probably doing that, but we're going to talk a little bit more about reading because it's how it incorporates with prayer. And why don't we just stop right now and do that? Now I didn't bring my reading plan with me when I travel because I have a separate Bible and it's just extra weight. So when I'm on the road like now, I simply revert to another plan. And so August, I take the date of the day, and today is August 7th. So to kind of get my spirit warmed up, because I might be distracted or still sleepy, I'll start with the Psalms. And very simple plan. I read Psalm 7 because it's August 7th. Yesterday I read Psalm 6. Tomorrow I'm going to read Psalm 8. But 30, read Psalm 37. Now this morning I got more out of Psalm 37 than 7. If I still have time, I'll read Psalm 67. I'm at 30 to that. Now I got something out of Psalm 67, so I never got to Psalm 97. But if I had more time, I would do all 5. That's very easy to do in my head. I don't have to have a plan written down or look it up or on my phone. It just takes the date and add 30. And actually, you can read through the entire book of Psalms, all 150 chapters, if you just do this. That's a plan, too. If you just want to spend time in the Psalms, start on September 1st. Or you could start really any time. The Psalms are not in any particular order to be read. It's not like historical. So you can start, and if you do that for 30 days times 5, you'll read 150 Psalms. Well, that's the whole book of Psalms. So you can read the whole book of Psalms every month if you want to just do Psalms. So I know people who just read Psalms or just read Proverbs. Now, the good thing about Proverbs, it's got 31 chapters. So August 7th, I want to change, do I have a little variety, then besides these Psalms, or I may stop at Psalm 37, and then the rest of my time go to Proverbs 7. So you see, there's no one plan that fits everybody all the time. I think it's good to be to change things up and have variety. It keeps you from getting into a rut. You know what a rut is. Something you walk so many times, it's created a deep rut so you can't get out. So people say, my quiet time is getting a little dry. What should I do? And I say, well, what have you been doing? Well, I've been doing the same thing, whatever it is, for months or years. I said, well, have you thought about doing something different? Here's a very simple alternative plan. Or you can do this with or without Proverbs and go back to reading a book of the Bible. Now, again, some people I know mix their Bible study in with their reading program. Say if they're studying the book of James, their quiet time's in James, their Bible study's in James, and so they're just reading that and going very slowly, maybe just one or two verses. But they think about it and they're doing, to me, more studying than reading. I just always felt personally that I just enjoyed not to have the extra energy that study required just to spend time with Jesus. And so I'm just reading until I read in Psalm 37, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. So I did stop and think about that. Or I just want to delight myself in you. I'm not looking for information. I want to know you, a person. If all I do is when I go to my wife and sit down and have dinner is, what new thing can you give me today? What can you tell me today? There are times when I go and I want information and we have certain times, but sometimes I just want to, you know, to enjoy a person's fellowship. We're just talking. And so she can share whatever's on her mind. So she may say something, and I'll say something. Because what I used to do in my reading is I would read for 10 minutes, and then I'd close my Bible, and I would just pray random things. And later I learned that the Lord was like, he was saying, well, you know, I appreciate your random prayers, but you didn't even, it's like you didn't really listen to what I told you when you were reading. So now what I do is I go reading a little slower, and I'll stop whenever I'm prompted to stop at a verse and just pray it back. Commit your way to the Lord. Lord, I'm going to commit my way to you. Everything I do today, I want to commit to you. It's very, very simple. It's like a real person would do. If someone was sitting here and he said, commit your way to the Lord. Okay, all right, I should stop and do that. In other words, instead of reading and then praying, now it's more of an held accountable and by choice to spend so many minutes reading the Bible every day and so many minutes of prayer. And I felt like that was okay for a period of training. Yesterday we talked about being in training. And so it trained me to maybe develop the discipline, but eventually what I need to do is learn that I'm sitting down with the creator of the universe. He's a person. He has a name. He has character, qualities, and attributes. I'm trying to get to know him better, and he wants to reveal himself to me. So then it's more of a, I want to do it out of love. Like I said, a love letter. And when I was in the military, I had the first girl that I ever had a date with wrote me a letter when I was in basic training. And every soldier, when mail call comes, they just love getting mail from home. And when I got that first letter from her, I carried it in my pocket. And I didn't read it just once. When I had spare time, I'd pull it out and read it again. And I'd pull it out and read it again the next day until I got a new letter. Well, we should love, remember, God loves us so much, and he has things he just wants to say, how much he loves us. He's got things he wants to tell us, how to help our life. He wants to reveal himself to us, so trust in him, and he will act. And be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. That's so I'm okay. Rather than rushing on through, I'm just going to sit and listen. We forget sometimes the listening part of this illustration. The hearing, we're really not listening sometimes, many times. We're daydreaming, we're doing other things on our phone, doodling. But even when we read and study and memorize and meditate, we've left out the fact that we're not really listening. So you've probably done that. I've seen couples when I've gone out to dinner with my own wife, and they'll be sitting there the whole time texting on their phone, but not necessarily even each other, I don't think. But they're not communicating. The goal of a quiet time and all this is communication and communion with the Lord. So that we grow deeper and deeper in love with him. Because unless we love him, we probably will not continue in this past the training phase. When you get out and go somewhere else and you're on your own and you're not in a team, are you sure that you're going to continue doing these things? Well, if you love the Lord, I think you will. And I think we'll do it out of love. So this write, wait on the Lord, study, we retain hopefully maybe 50% of what we study. 2 Timothy 2:15. Anybody know that verse? 2 Timothy 2:15. 2:15. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's what we've been trying to do the last 3 days, rightly divide the word of truth. Okay, it looks like it says this, but this says that. And by the way, over lunch, there's a couple of things about what we talked about this morning that relates to study, is to remember a couple of things. One is Deuteronomy 29:29. Says the secret things belong to the Lord. Other things he's revealed to us in his word. So there are things that God has not revealed everything to us. This is not an exhaustive encyclopedia, or else it would fill this room, that room, this building. In other words, it doesn't contain all of the history of mankind. It doesn't have all of the science, but where it does have history, it's accurate. Where it does have science, it's true. That's what we mean by inerrant. There's nothing written in here that's not true. So it's not a science book, but it doesn't violate science. But there are secret things that God hasn't revealed. How old was Adam and Eve when he created them? Oh, how old did they look, brethren? I mean, they were 55, I think it's 7 and 8. It says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are high above here, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than." So there are things in the Bible that represent God's thoughts, but they're higher. I can't quite get there. So there are things that are written and revealed, but they're higher than my ability to comprehend. And then there are things, and I don't have this one memorized. It's in 2 Peter. Peter's talking about the writings of Paul. Remember, he says, some of Paul's writings are hard to understand. Well, even Peter, who's one of the apostles, he says there are things hard to understand. So don't feel bad that you don't understand everything and you don't know everything. And I don't feel bad anymore that I can't answer every question there is about the Bible or about God or about this verse and that verse. And people who say that they can understand every single part are probably not studying it hard enough. So I think it's in 2 Peter. So that's just a little extra from this morning left over. But we are supposed to study. So I hear it, I get a little bit, I read it for myself. I want to read through to commune with God and just spend time with Him. Okay, what do you want me to know right now today, if anything? To be honest, there are some days I don't write anything down. Mostly because I get to the time where I have to go for work and I'm still reading and praying, and I just don't take the time or have the time. But I don't become legalistic about it. Now, if I'm in training and I'm supposed to do it, then I do it. So study, again, we study to obey. Study is when you spend, this is not minutes, but typically I'm spending hours, whether it's 1 hour a night, all week, or 3 hours on one night, or whatever it is. I'm opening not just a paraphrase, but a good translation. Now, who was it yesterday that was talking about translations? I don't remember. But, the ESV, the New King James, the NASB, things like that. Good, proven study Bibles. And there are many tools available. Again, most of them are online now. You used to have a book, a whole library. Say, commentaries, dictionaries, maps. It depends on what you're studying and how deep you want to go. But usually I do my study before I go to the commentary and see what it really means. No, hopefully I'm going to come to a conclusion. If I come to a conclusion and all the commentaries came somewhere else and I see where they came from, then I've changed my conclusion. Yes.
With the study plan, I have given. With the study plan, that you make it easy to read maybe chapter 7, 37, 67. Yes, with that study plan, there are some chapters in the Bible that are consecutive. That means the previous or the next depends on the previous. Mm-hmm. If you read it like this, I don't know, is it easy to comprehend it?
These Psalms are an exception. They're usually standard Psalms. Yeah, I'm just talking about the Psalms. And they're usually very specific, although they're interrelated. And it's amazing how many times I've read a common theme. I'll see a common theme in Psalms that are 30 Psalms apart. But that's a good question. That's part of the context. Now, if I'm studying, it's different. Yeah, you want to study things in the context and look at the verse before and after. Well, maybe at the whole chapter. If you're studying a book, you want to read the whole book about 3 times before you start studying it. So there are ways to do book studies, character studies, chapter studies, verse analysis studies, all these different types of studies. That's what the Navigator, they have tons of resources on how to do different types of Bible my state, they're not related to what I'm reading that day or what I'm hearing. I'm in a Bible study, and there's topical studies, verse, maybe just one verse, and there's book characters. You can just study the character of Daniel and look at every verse in the Bible on that character, and then think about what were his strengths, what were his weaknesses, how did he walk with God, what mistakes did he make. So there are things in each one of these categories that you can learn or ask your team leader. Now, if for a new Christian, again, I think the best thing is to get grounded in some good topical study. A topical study is a Bible study on who is Jesus. If they're a brand new Christian, they need to be grounded in who is God, who is Jesus. Do I have assurance of salvation? I would go back over this illustration, the bridge, and study the gospel. And we do a study on how to have a quiet time, for example. Just a simple, basic study based on the profile of a disciple, or to follow up a disciple. I want to do this, 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 and this. I want them to be check their salvation. Learn how to read the Bible, learn how to pray, and some basic things on the importance of fellowship and church, how to pick a Bible, help them choose a good Bible. And I'm not saying I never read paraphrases. I've read the Living Bible and other types of Bibles just to see how they put it, because sometimes they can give insight. But at the end, I want to go back to, if I'm doing a more advanced study, I'm going to go to the Hebrew and the Greek dictionary that I used to get, again, have to have a book. But now I can go online at places like Blue Letter Bible. I think it's, I don't remember if it's .com or .org. They've got all these resources, Bible study resources, already there for free. Just click 10 different translations and pick on a verse, and it'll take you to the Greek word, what the Greek word definition is. I mean, and then there's another one called that I like. Well, some people will go to this PC Study Bible. That's good. I'm trying to think of another one that starts with the word Bible. It's slipping my mind what it is. But there's some great resources. Just be careful. There's some bad resources. There's some bad things out there. Even Bible resources. There's false teachings of all kinds about the Bible. So study is where I'm usually studying with a group, and so we want to discuss our findings and bounce ideas off each other and see, well, you know, that idea, that's contradictory to something over here. So remember, the first day, I say, if my finding is contradictory to clear teachings over here, then my findings are wrong. I stick to the clear teachings, and I hope we've shown you that the clear teaching of the Bible is that there's only one way to become a Christian, and that's through the substitution and atoning death, burial, and resurrection. And it's the only way, that and that alone, to have eternal security, and that your love is secure. If you're saved, you are eternally saved. And so now that that's settled, I can focus on my walk with God. So we're on study. Now, somewhere in there, I learned that I could remember 100% if I would memorize it. So the first Navigator Bible study I was in, I saw these guys quoting verses without looking at their Bible. I said, write it down on a little card. We've looked at that the first day, I believe, with the reference on one side and the verse and the reference. So that's, again, the Navigators have mastered this, but they pioneered a lot of work in the area of scripture memory. And we use, there are still people who will challenge that that's in the Bible, scripture memory. But how else did the psalmist mean it when he said, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart. And the heart means the mind. How can you hide it if you're not going to memorize it? I mean, I don't know if you have a way to do it. That I might not sin against you. So I don't know if I have enough handouts. I wanted to get, I think I did. Oh, here they are. I think I do. Let's just spend some time on. I want to really. Verse 10. Yeah, I later memorized verse 10. What's written in the book? With my whole heart have I sought thee, oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Verse 10. So, really. But there are many times I wish I knew the whole all of the Psalm 119. There are so many good verses. So, that's the wrong. Sorry, that was here. Let me get. Really looking for this. I think that must have been on top. Yeah. Sorry, that didn't look right, did it? Should be why, on one side, why memorize? Binding would get where you'd open it up on the same page all the time. So then that's not going to work. I'm not going to get through the whole Bible. So I want a systematic plan to read through the whole Bible, not just the same page all the time. But you know what happened when somebody did that? They opened it up and it said Judas went out and hanged himself. That's what they opened it up and went like that. Judas went out and hanged himself. Oh, they closed it. And then he opened it again. They opened it up again and he went like that. And he said, go and do likewise. There are verses like that. There are two verses. That's bordering superstition. I don't recommend that at all. When I was a young Christian, I did things like that. But I learned when I was immature not to do that. Because I wanted to know, okay, should I date this girl, husband, the book? That's a very dangerous thing, the way to decide whether to do something serious. So we won't probably have time to do every single one of these reasons. In fact, we're already, but any one of the first four reasons would be enough in and of itself to give Scripture more time in our life than we do. If this is the, if this is truly, and we believe this is truly the inspired word of God, from God to man, that, that alone makes it worth knowing deeply. And that's 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable. If that were the only reason, I would want to memorize it. Just like I did eventually those love letters. If you read them often enough, you begin to memorize certain parts. If the fact that the Bible was quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, if that were the only reason, it would be worth memorizing because of what the scripture is. It's inspired, it's powerful, it's eternal, and it's the truth. Jesus said, "Thy sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth." This contains truth on how to live. Not only the Christian life, but truth about marriage, parenting, how to do our job with integrity, how to avoid sin, how to know the will of God. I mean, just I didn't have this on here, but it's sufficient. What do I mean by sufficient? Someone says, I don't... let's turn to 2 Peter. People say, well, I need something else besides the Bible. What do you mean I need something else? Well, I've got this other book here, or I've got this other experience. 2 Peter 1. Chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Someone want to read those?
But he says, my son, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life.
Okay, see that? God's given us. He's already given us everything we need, not just some of the things. People say, I just don't have enough information to live a godly life. So I need this special anointing or this special miracle or I need this other book. No, God says he's given us everything. Let's see where that is. Everything for a life of God. How?
We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence.
Okay, now stop. So this, first of all, it's his divine power has given us this. Everything we need to know for a life of godliness through the knowledge of him or through, you said, through knowing him. Well, there's two types of knowing in the Bible. So this is where Bible study comes in. I go to here, look up that word knowing. I go to the Greek, and it's one thing to know someone at one level. Say, I know you at a certain level. But that word knowing means to know deeply. It's an intimate knowledge, not just to know about, but to know someone. And we've talked about that too. Like I know my wife after living with her for 32 years, I know her much more than I did at the wedding. So that's what that word is, and that's where Bible study comes in. So people say, well, everything I need to know I learned because now I know God. Well, in one sense, we know God at that moment. We come to know him. But there's a lifetime of really deeper and deeper and deeper knowing him. So this secret of living a godly life grows as we know. That's why we want to spend time with him, to get to know him. Because he's going to impart knowledge and power, motivation and grace to live a godly life. But if we don't take advantage of that and we don't spend time with him every day, we're ignoring an opportunity to know, like I said, the God of the universe. We praise him. We love praise. praising Him, but realize that He also wants to know us intimately. Go ahead and keep reading. Verse 4.
And because of His glory and excellence, He has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share His divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires.
Oh, so now He's going to give us something to become divine. To be partakers of the divine nature. He's not saying that we're going to become gods, like the Mormons say we're going to become gods. That's not. But we are partaking of His divine nature. His divine nature meaning His divine love, His grace, His mercy. He wants to make us more like that, more gracious, more merciful people like Him, and escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. So to escape the old nature and become more and more like this new nature. We have a new nature. We still have this old nature. They're going to battle each other, and which one grows is which one we feed. If I feed the old nature as a Christian, it's going to recover its strength. And so that's why we watch what we read and music we hear, movies we go to. And so it's also why we read God's Word, because it says He has granted us His precious and great promises. So He's given us promises in His Word, and it's through His Word that we know Him. And you should ask me, well, how do you get from that to the Bible? I can look at 2 Corinthians 3:18 and says, as we behold the glory of the Lord, that's when I sit down face to face with Jesus and His Spirit. We behold Him, and I'm being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. This comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So He's not physically sitting there because the Spirit is in me, but I can imagine that Christ is sitting there with me having my quiet time, and I'm beholding Him in His Word. He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word became flesh. So the Word is, it's like spending time with Christ. And the Holy Spirit is the revealer of Christ. That's in John 14:27. The Comforter, who is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I said to you. So the Holy Spirit is given to reveal what Jesus said to us. So in Bible study or reading, actually, I need to remember that I need the Holy Spirit to reveal. So I should pray, Lord, open my eyes. Holy Spirit, teach me and reveal Christ to me. And as I behold Him in the Scriptures, I'm going to become more like Him. So I don't know how many reasons down here, besides what Scripture is, there are things that Scripture does. For one, it's because Scripture helps us to know God. As 2 Peter 3 said, that how we know God is how we're going to grow in a godly life. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, when He was tempted, that man does not live on bread alone, but by every word. So we live, it feeds the soul. We live on it. If we stop eating, what's going to happen? Stop eating food, what will happen to your body? Yeah, eventually you'll die. So after a while, you'll get weaker. So if you stop eating spiritual food, what will happen?
That's rebirth.
Yeah. If you stop eating spiritual food in the Bible, we will get weaker. Weaker. So there's another reason in Matthew 4:4 as to why scripture memory can be very valuable, and that's Jesus is quoting from Deuteronomy three times. Satan said a temptation to Him, and three times He said, it is written. And He quotes a verse from Deuteronomy. Spirit. We're not. We need the sword of the Spirit ready and handy in our minds to pull it out when Satan tempts us and say, no, it is written. Christ died for my sins. It is written. He who has the Son has life. He does not have the Son of God does not have life. So, scripture memory not only helps feed my own soul, but helps me in temptation. And it helps me to meditate. Because if I memorize something, I can meditate on it anywhere, any time of the day or night, wherever I am in the world, or on an airplane, or waiting on a bus, in a line at the grocery store. I can stop and I can upload it.